This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I want to give you a little heads up on something here. At the start of the lesson here, I will be mentioning two different dates. One will be the date that the message was first published, and the second date will be the date that the message was transcribed, if you will, to audio. The reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of this message, I might make mention of some people, places, things, or events that were relevant at the time that the message was first published, which may or may not be relevant for today. And if that is the case, if I can remember, I'll try to give you a heads up on it. However, let me say this. When it comes down to the Word of God, His word is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry. And our message for today is a message that was first published back in the month of October of the year 2021. And it's being put on audio in the month of October of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah, chapter number 17 and verse number 9. And if you have the scripture available, you will find these words recorded. And like I said, this is for October the year 2021, and it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Title for our message is, God Knows Your Heart. Now, the message for this month both states a fact and asks a question. The fact is, since He, God or Christ, is our Creator, and through Him we live and move and have our being, according to Acts chapter 17, verse number 28, then obviously He knows us inside and out. Now, if you think about it from the simple standpoint that says the only entity that knows a product, how it works, and if something goes wrong with it, is the most capable to fix it, is the manufacturer of that product. If you own a car, especially if it is new and something goes wrong with it, your best course of action is to take it back to the manufacturer. Oh, you could take it to some mechanics that know how to fix many different makes and models of cars. But you run the risk of having a repair job that may fail in the near future because the problem was outside of that mechanic's expertise. That is especially true today. Back in the 60s through the 70s, when I was a certified auto mechanic, it was easy to be able to fix almost any problem in any car because they all functioned about the same. If it wouldn't start, you would follow the same procedure on the problem and find out what the problem was. If it was running roughly, the same procedure for that problem could be used to fix it. Today, unless you have the equivalent of a technical background and a computer, you are going to be limited in what you can do to remedy either the above problems because of the intricacy of the design of relays, sensors, and such, as well as the onboard computer, all working to start and run the vehicle. This is why all manufacturers say you should come back to them to have your vehicle serviced. With literally thousands of different systems in the thousands of different vehicles, it is literally impossible for any one mechanic to know every vehicle's system's function and how to fix it correctly. If they did try to fix it, they may inadvertently cause something else to go bad or make the problem worse. If you can understand that, then you can understand the facts of this message. Throughout history, there has been an ongoing battle between Christianity and social scientists, which I call the new gods, which include new gods, G-O-D-S with the small g, which includes psychiatrists, psychologists, and sociologists, as to what is wrong with mankind and the best course of action to take to fix it. While Christians say God and Jesus is the answer, the new gods say that they have a better solution. Many of them will go on record as saying religion, more specifically, Christianity, is at the root of man's problems. Get rid of it, and that will be a major step in solving the problem. If you will notice, this is a subtle attempt to remove any recognition of Jesus Christ from the picture. They don't necessarily reject God because other religions acknowledge God or a God or gods. Christianity, however, is different in that it is the only religion, they say, that essentially proclaims that Jesus is the only way to heaven. This, in their mind, is putting other religious beliefs underneath theirs, which in their minds is belittling those persons' beliefs. They will claim most wars in the world that the world has seen, which cost millions of lives, have been over religion. Therefore, in their minds, get rid of it and whammo, no more wars. What they fail to realize is one major fact, and that is the subject verse, which essentially says, because of a heart that is both corrupt and therefore deceitful. It causes them to believe something that is not only not true, but dangerous or deadly. The fact of the matter is, God knows our hearts, which is our core. Therefore, He deals with us according to that condition. It is what's in a person's heart that God looks at when determining how to respond to their prayers. The vast majority of the problems individuals face, I don't care who they are, has to do with the condition of their hearts towards God. Just as you wouldn't do things to help someone who hated you and despised you, neither would God. And it is this reality that most people tend to overlook. They have in their minds that because all those bad things that are happening in their lives, then God doesn't exist. Otherwise, He would solve their problems. This brings about the question that the subject verse addresses, and it is this: what exactly is your core relationship with Christ? Have you ever stopped to think about the fact that you may not be acceptable to Christ as you thought? What makes you think you are in a favorable position with Him? What makes you think you are on your way to heaven, and in the meantime, God is right there to give assistance to you whenever you call on Him? The what is your heart? A person's heart will get them to believe anything it wants them to believe, whether it is true or not. Why does it do this? Because it is connected to your flesh, and as such, tends to align itself with it, talking about your flesh, so that you can have a false sense of safety and security. Have you ever said or heard someone else make the statement that God knows my heart? Almost all of the time, it is in the response to you or someone else being questioned or warned about something that they are doing that is sinful. This is a person's built-in defense mechanism to keep the person from having to face the possibility that they are doing something wrong. The deceitful heart will justify anything that you are doing by giving you Bible scripture that removes any sense of wrongdoing on your part and finds someone else to blame if possible. What this deceitful heart is doing is keeping you from doing the first major thing Christ requires of any individual that is walking contrary to His direction, and that is repentance. When the Bible tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, in James chapter number 5 verse number 16, and that we are to be perfect even as God is perfect. You can find in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 7, Matthew chapter 5 verse number 48, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 16, that carries with it the need for repentance on our part when we get out of line. And notice, these are not suggestions, they are commands. Our hearts will tell us that it wasn't our fault, that we did what we had to do to solve the problem. This is what is called the blame game. Nothing is ever our fault. The new gods give us leave from guilt by affixing blame to someone or something else, and we acted as any normal human being would act in that situation. The thing is, that is true, but since all human beings are wicked in their core, according to Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 10, then we need to get rid of that condition through the act of being born again, which starts with the act of confessing our sins and repenting. The new gods formulate their solutions from the standpoint of the natural human nature of the unrepentant human being. We only have to look at how this played out in the beginning when God confronted Adam and Eve about their disobedience and how they responded to with an excuse, really. It was always someone else's or something's fault. If you will notice, Adam blamed God because he said, "The woman that you gave me." Yes, that's right. We will blame him if we can't blame someone else. Think that's ridiculous? How about the excuse that gay community has that God made them that way? This removes any sense of guilt on their part and puts it squarely on another entity, even God Himself. The result of this type of behavior is that in the eyes of Christ, they remain unrepentant, and as a result, their prayers become useless. And as a result, the individual comes to the conclusion that God must not be real because He isn't answering their prayers. This goes to show how that the wicked heart will deceive an individual with the idea that if God is real and you are a good person doing good things, He would certainly answer your prayers. The thing is, what is considered a good person and good things is by whose standards? Man's or Christ's? Man's standards are far below what is acceptable to Christ. Look at Isaiah chapter 55 and verse number 9. And as such, He will never be righteous or perfect in His sight unless He repents and changes His ways. But He doesn't want to do that because His heart is telling Him, "There's nothing wrong with you. God made you like this. You are grown. Everybody else is doing it. It's no big deal. Nobody's perfect." Notice, it is always making the person feel comfortable in their condition so that they will have no reason to change or see no reason to change. When a person listens to one of these new gods, they are listening to the equivalent of a devil, because they are just as under his or the devil's control as they are. Now, just how deceitful can a person's heart be? Deceitful enough to get saved, sanctified, spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians to fall in line with this foolishness. That's right, I said it. A large percentage of my brothers and sisters in Christ have bought into the notion that certain things can be overlooked because everybody sins and no one's perfect. And just who is it at the top of the list? Preachers with degrees in psychology and sociology, and even other degrees from institutions whose curriculum is built on these ideas. The point being, if the preacher says it, and he has degrees from a university or other institution of higher learning, then he must know what he is talking about. And where do the majority of Christians flock? To churches pastored by these followers of the Antichrist. Why? Because their sermons or messages are soothing to the flesh. The Apostle Paul tells us that in 2 Timothy chapter number 4, starting in verse number 3, it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." In basic English, people will refuse to hear the truth of God's word for no other reason than they feel more comforted by lies. The fact that they are guilty of something and may possibly have to pay the price is totally out of the question. They would rather die and go to hell than have to admit to wrongdoing. Now, what type of person would take that position? A person whose heart is playing them for a fool. It seems hard to believe it, but it's true. Your own heart, the core of your very being, will, if not changed by the total word of God, will cause you to destroy yourself over time. How well do you know your own heart? I would dare say most of you would think that you do, when in reality you don't. Here is a simple test. If you have read this entire message and you feel that I am being too critical in what I am saying, then the chances are very good that you are one of those that I am talking about. If you will look at the letterhead of this ministry, you will see the scripture that is its foundation. And one of the things that it says is that the uncompromised word of God, among other things, is a two-edged sword that pierces down to the core or the heart of an individual and makes them react in a way that will reveal just what is in their heart. You can talk about how much you love the Lord. You can speak in tongues, run down the aisle, sing praises to His name. But if you refuse to hear His words of direction for your life, then you are a fraud and a liar. Quit letting your heart play you for a fool. Time is running out. You don't know when your number will be up. And if you leave here in your present condition, you will go on your way to your eternal reward, and it won't be heaven. And think about this. Those that you have a great influence over may very well follow in your footsteps. Is that what you want? Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing out this portion of our message, and hoping that you picked up a few nuggets of truth here to live by. And remember, your heart can fool people outside of you, but it can definitely fool you as well, because it has a 24-hour, 7-day contact with you. See, you be around friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters and things, but you aren't with them 24/7. When you go to bed at night, it's just you in the bed. Well, that's when your heart and your mind can get to working on you to get you all discombobulated and everything else, to get you thinking stuff, seeing things the wrong way. And it ain't nobody's fault but your own, or rather your heart's fault. But since it's in you, it's your fault, because you don't take the time to know God's word so that you can recognize when your heart is trying to deceive you and stop it before it gets too far out of line. And there's a lot of people today that's leaving this world thinking they're on their way to heaven. And unfortunately, that's not where they're ending up. Do yourself a favor. Don't be one of them. And then the other thing is, you set the example for the rest of your family members, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, and the like. You want them following you just in case if you did wind up in hell, you want them winding up in hell too because of you. Think about it. Well, in closing, let me just say, may God bless you and your families real good until we get together next time for another message from the Word of God. Good day.